And there's some interesting things here. Okay, out of First Enoch. First Enoch 82, verse 3. He says here, they, which is the righteous, they should not slumber. That means, of course, being as what the Apostle Paul brings out, okay, asleep. They should not slumber, but be thinking. Okay, they shall cause their ears to hear in order that they may learn this wisdom. And it shall please those who feast on it more than good food. Okay, this is out of 1 Enoch 82, 3. All right, 1 Enoch 90:19. Enoch gives witness here, and he says, then I saw that a great sword was given to the sheep. This is what the Lord is doing today, which has to do with the restoration. And the sheep shall go, or shall proceed against all the beasts and birds. That's the predators of the false religious system. Okay, the predator plunders. Okay, the predator plunders. And they plundered the knowledge of truth from the heart, okay, with their own witness and record. All the beasts and birds of heaven fled from before their face. That's in 1 Enoch 90:19. Here is another one by Enoch concerning the inspiration, which we see the Apostle Paul brings out. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then here, 1 Enoch 91:1. He says here, for a voice calls me, and the Spirit is poured over me, so that I may show you everything that shall happen to you forever. Of course, Enoch is identifying the first week, being the first week's steward. All right, also in 1 Enoch 82:7. And he says here, God now, he has revealed to me and breathed over me concerning the luminaries, the months, the festivals, the years, and the days. Okay, that's out of 1 Enoch 91:1 and also 82:7. Here's one, 1 Enoch 91:12, the week of righteousness. Then after that, there shall occur the second eighth week, the week of righteousness. A sword should be given to it, nor that judgment, which has to do with a correction, judgment should be executed in righteousness on the oppressors. That's the ministers of unrighteousness, teaching false knowledge. And sinners should be delivered in the hands of the righteous. That has to do with the knowledge of this world, see, it will crumble before the knowledge of God. Also in 1 Enoch 91:5-14, okay, Enoch identifies also, okay, a changing of things. And this is what he says, which we also can give witness to this. 6,000 years later, okay, the devil's things which were revealed, okay, are also seen today. For I know the state of violence will intensify upon the earth. A great plague should be executed upon the earth, like COVID-19 example. All forms of oppression will be carried out, and everything, which means all cultural roots, everything shall be uprooted. The cultural roots will be changing. And every arrow shall fly fast, which has to do with wars and rumors of wars. Oppression shall recur once more, be carried out upon the earth. Every form of oppression, injustice, and iniquity shall affect the world twofold. Of course, we're seeing it manifested today, and also the intensity of it during the seventh week when the beast rules. When oppression, sin, oppression, blasphemy, and injustice increase, crime, iniquity, and uncleanness shall be committed and increase likewise. Then a great plague shall take place from heaven upon all these. The Holy Lord shall emerge with wrath and plague in order that he may execute judgment upon the earth. Of course, that's when we come back with him. Now, in those days, injustice shall be cut off from its sources. Okay, that is concerning its the very roots, okay, that it was dining on during the millennial reign of Christ. And it says here, the iniquity shall be removed from its fountain and from its roots. Likewise, oppression together with deceit, they shall be destroyed from underneath heaven. All that which is common with the heathen shall be surrendered. Okay, the tower shall be inflamed with fire and be removed from the whole earth. They shall be thrown into the judgment of fire and perish in wrath and the force of the eternal judgment. Then the righteous one shall arise from his sleep, and the wise one shall arise, and he shall be given unto them, thus the people. And through him the roots of oppression shall be cut off. Sinners shall be destroyed. Okay, by the sword they shall be cut off, together with the blasphemers in every place. And those who design oppression and commit blasphemy shall perish by the knife. Then after that there shall occur the second eighth week, the week of righteousness. A sword shall be given to it in order that that judgment should be executed in righteousness in the oppressors, and sinners shall be delivered in the hands of the righteous. At its completion they shall acquire great things of their righteousness. A house shall be built, as we're doing here, the house shall be built, with the great king in glory forevermore. Then after that, in the ninth week, the righteous judgment shall be revealed to the whole world, and all the deeds of the sinners shall depart from upon the whole earth, and shall be written off for eternal destruction. And all people shall direct their sight to the path of righteousness. And there's a few verses there in the book of Enoch. We've got a moment here, but we read something out of Thessalonians. Okay, and this is out of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, 10 through 12. Here, the Apostle Paul talks about the strong delusion. Okay, and we can see this is also unfolding today. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them, as the false religious system, and them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, okay, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, see, that they should believe a lie, which has to do with the religion of the aspiration, okay, and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness, which has to do with the standard of the false standard, which is the standard of Satan. Okay, because the standard of Satan will reach its peak, okay, its pinnacle of confirming Adam's desires during the time of the beast. Okay, of course, what God now allows these things, okay, he allows them to find their completion, which is false, okay, within the system, only to be destroyed, okay, further on. All right, and have your Bibles open to Philippians here. Okay, we'll be moving around here from Philippians, also to Psalms and the Gospel of John. And we'll be reading some things there. And so we're going to start here. Make sure you put your marker also in Philippians because we'll be coming back here. Okay, and here, Paul, we're going to pick up where we left off here. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all of the places. Okay, and many of the brethren in the Lord are waxing confident by my bonds, which has to do with position to serve Christ. Okay, are more confident understanding these foundations, having the foundation in their heart. Okay, they're waxing confident by my bonds. Okay, which has to do with the token. Now, he's not, every time he says the word bonds or prisoner, he's not referring to that which is a physical prison. Okay, but being bound to the altar and tethered to the throne of God. Because no matter where you're at, okay, the tether remains. The tether to the throne of God. So many of the brethren were waxing confident. Okay, my bonds are much more bold to speak the word. That is understanding the foundation and share this knowledge, being absent of any restraint. Okay, much more bold to speak the word without fear, without restraint. Now, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, the unconverted believers. They preach a psychology about Christ, the gospel of psychology. Okay, yet the Lord is being mentioned, he says here, is being brought before the name of Jesus is being brought before the minds of the sinners, okay, impressed upon their minds as it begins to stir them up to seek him. So some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, out of competition, emulation, or variance, and some also goodwill to build. They want to build his house upon that foundation. That is the foundation of truth. Now the one preaches Christ of contention, okay, as an example, okay, we can see preaching the Christ of contention, those that which were preaching the doctrine of Nicolaitans, okay, though they were mixing covenants, yet they were, okay, resourcing that which Jesus did, dying on a cross and rising physically from the dead. So the one preaches Christ of contention. We can see this also in religious magazines today. They not sincerely, which means they love to debate the theology to prove themselves worthy of leadership. Even competing against the stewardship. So the one preaches Christ's contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. They're straining their charity. They have sour charity. We're going to see some things about this here, as we're going to turn to Psalms 119. So put your marker right here, and we're going to see some more things, okay, about stirring up that revelation, okay, in order to, okay, representing his kingdom, okay, and the necessity of stewardship. We'll be seeing some of these things here in Psalms 119. So turn to Psalms 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible. Okay, and Psalms 119, we're starting with verse 104. Okay, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. False way, so I highlight the word false way, which is the way of Baal, who uses the moral code and the aspiration. So the path of the aspiration is the broad way and the wide mouth of Beelzebub, who devours the sinner's fruits of iniquity. Okay, the empty soul is full of iniquity, okay, which of course demons dine on for their joy. So therefore I hate every false way. So make sure you highlight the word false way. Make sure you have your notepad ready, you're highlighting your pen. Okay, as we continue to proceed, you can highlight some of these things and make some notations there in your Bible or in your notepad. Now starting with Psalms 105 here. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And here he's reflecting upon a word of knowledge, which has to do with the grace of God. Okay, it gives clear sight to my eyes, like a burning lamp. Okay, your light. Okay, your word, this grace now, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay, because this is as a word of knowledge. Now he's reflecting upon these words of knowledge here, which he received through the prophecy of Samuel the seer. And we'll be jumping over there in a moment. Okay, so here, this revelation, it keeps me on the prophetic path. By staying on a prophetic path, it starves the evil aspiration. Okay, which has to do with this knowledge is as honey to my mouth. We see this in verses 103. Okay, yes, sweeter than honey to the mouth, to my mouth. So your word is a lamp unto my feet. This is what I'm dining on. And a light unto my path, which means I won't stumble in this precept. For I behold Christ as my way. Okay, I behold Christ as my way. Okay, the precept only addresses my moral habits. But the anointing is what I embrace. The anointing is this light. So he says here, your word is a lamp to my feet and light to my path. I have sworn and I will perform it. So I have the word sworn there, which means I made a vow to this anointing to walk in this way. And that's what he did. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep your righteous judgments, which means that which the anointing provides for me corrects my steps. Now we can see this. Okay, when David was in the threshing floor of Ornan or Runa, hey, the Jebusite, hey, and the angel of destruction, okay, paused there over that threshing floor, and David prepared an altar. Now these are things which he was reflecting upon. So I have sworn that I will perform it, that I will keep your righteous judgments. Okay, that means I'm not going to justify my aspiration as did Saul. See, I'm afflicted very much, he says here. Which means I suffered a loss of self-pride, so I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to your word. This is because your grace restricts my folly. Your grace restricts my folly. So I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to your word. Now he says, according to your word, he's according to that which the Spirit revealed, as the seer Samuel confirmed. Okay, when I went to him when I was running from Saul. So here we can see that David came to Samuel when he was in Ramah. And now we're going to see that in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 18. I'm going to jump over here real quickly. So we can put a marker here, because we're coming back here. And we're going to go to Samuel for a moment. And we're going to read some interesting things here. We'll get some insight on David's reflections. And now we start with verse 18. I'm in chapter 19. I'm starting with verse 18. So David fled. Okay, now David took prudent thought. Now he didn't stand there and start rebuking the devil over King Saul. He didn't plead the blood of the sacrifice over Saul. He didn't bind and loose the devil. He didn't do any kind of, trickery or any kind of incantation, as a false religious system teaches today. They try to stand against the ways of this world, okay, by the trinkets, okay, of the aspiration, okay, by certain incantations. The binding and the loosing doctrines came out of that. The binding and loosing doctrines, okay, were introduced and were quickly embraced during the 50s and 60s, okay, and began to take root within the charismatic movement. Okay, and the binding and loosing and plaiting of blood, it came through like Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen, Jack Cole, and during these so-called large tent revivals, okay, even where they had healings take place. Okay, that was God's compassion. But when God's compassion is present, okay, is not in confirmation of the doctrines that are being spoken. This is what Jesus told his apostles. When the apostle John came to him, he says, Lord, we saw one casting out devils in your name. Okay, Jesus was informing him, this is my Father's compassion. Okay, this is my Father's compassion. Okay, it's nothing to be alarmed about, because my Father's mercy and compassion, okay, is revealed throughout the whole world. Okay, whether it be weather-wise, concerning sending sunshine upon the just and unjust, sending the rain upon the just and the unjust, okay, or giving fruitful harvest, fruitful seasons, and prosperity to the sinner. Okay, my Father's compassion, okay, is manifesting these things. Okay, but we're not creating doctrines out of his compassion. Okay, the doctrine is set within my record. This is what Jesus was explaining to him. My doctrine, which you shall preach, John, okay, is set within my record. Okay, but here we see David fled. He took forethought here. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel, the refuge and stewardship under Samuel. Okay, to Ramah, confirming. This was for confirmation and reporting on what Saul was doing. And all that Saul had done to him as to humiliate him, okay, in front of his family and friends. So, and he, David and Samuel, went and dwelt in Naoth, okay, which was a safe house. Okay, in a safe house and where Saul or Samuel was holding Bible study. Now it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is in Naoth in Ramah. Okay, and that of course was Samuel the seer. And at this point, verse 20, Saul sent his police there, his enforcers. He sent messengers to take and arrest David. Now when they saw the company, and when he attended Samuel's Bible study, okay, and his students were prophesying, he saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel was teaching the same thing that we do. Okay, Samuel was instructing his students, disciples, in the ways of the anointing, in the ways of the Lord, the word of the Lord, his kingdom policies. Okay, and his students were expressing that in prophecy or charity. Okay, they were reciprocating in charity. And David observed this, okay, that God doesn't delight in the shedding of the blood of animals, okay, but rather in the bloodless sacrifices of charity. And we see this also in the book of Psalms. And Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul. Okay, and of course at this point, when the angel of the Lord was present. Now the angel of the Lord being present also provided a barrier, okay, so that they could not approach any further. It's the same angel that worked with also Samson. Okay, this angel was a shield to Samson from the arrows, from the swords, and from the spears, and rocks, everything that they could throw at him, okay, were not touching him. Okay, even as they made their quick assaults, the Philistines made their quick, okay, against Samson, they would just be plowed before him, just knocked right down dead. Okay, so the angel that was with Samson also was with Samuel. Okay, and the angel was providing that shield. So here we can see as Samuel, the seer, the prophet, chief elder, Samuel, was standing over them after instructing him in the way of the Lord, okay, were reciprocating in this form of charity. And they also began prophesying. They were confirming David's calling. Okay, so the Spirit of God was upon the messenger of Saul, and they also prophesied while they were confirming the record of Moses and affirming his statutes, his judgments, his law, and the next steward, the second Enochian ram, which was David. In verse 21, now when it was told Saul, when this phenomena was understood, you know, I'm sharing these things with you in reflection of what we just read there in Philippians. Okay, how the Apostle Paul also gained his strength, okay, and through the confirmation of these revelations, and the brethren that were with him, okay, which attended his Bible studies, also were strengthened in sharing this knowledge. So when it was told Saul, he sent messengers, and you notice he sent out his ATF, okay, and his special troops there, okay, and they prophesied likewise. Everything that they were saying was encouraging David. Okay, they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent, and he frustrated with these things. Now he sent messengers again at the third time, and they prophesied also. For Saul's police, they couldn't even proceed to arrest David. Okay, the angel of the Holy Ghost restricted their efforts. This also happened when Jesus' enemies came to arrest him in the garden where he was praying. When they came and said, and it was inquired of them, whom do you seek? And they said, we seek him who is called Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus replied, and he says, I'm the person you're looking for. I am he. Okay, addressing that, I am Yah, or I am the Lord God. Okay, I am he. And immediately, okay, the angel Lord forced the opponents and enemies of righteousness down to the ground, face down, to where they were forced to the ground, okay, and they were yelling curses, okay, a blasphemy, thinking that Jesus is using some kind of supernatural sorcery. Okay, and this happened also, okay, in the days of Jesus. Okay, they could not move. Then went he also to Ramah and came to a great well, which is in Sikhu. There was a large well there, and there was a woman at the well there. This was also a sign, the Rebekah sign. And Elisha asked and said at this well, where are Samuel and David? And then one said this, another that, behold, they be at Naath and Ramah. Okay, and Elisha thinking, well, this was to trick him, okay, that he went there to Naath and Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went and prophesied. He was also confirming David as the next king. And Saul also made this known, okay, at the cave, okay, when David took a piece of that garment, okay, in confirmation that he was going to be the next king. Okay, and he prophesied, and he came to Naath and Ramah. So God put a veil of light about Samuel, okay, and the angel refused Saul's attendance, and Satan's attendance. At this point, verse 24, and Saul removed off his royal robes to reveal his own hypocrisy. So he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied, being prostrated there before Samuel in like manner. He was unable to move. Okay, and he lay down naked all that day and all that night, prophesying. Wherefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? In other words, people were pondering, is Saul also attending Samuel's school of prophets? Is he also going to Samuel's school? Okay, now we'll go back to Psalms 119. So let's go back from here, and you can understand more when he says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So in verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to your word. Again, as Samuel the seer confirmed. And he goes on, accept, I beseech you, the freewill offerings of my mouth. Now this is what David was observing, the freewill offerings of my mouth. This is what we do. Okay, we offer the free will offerings of our mouth. That's your charity. Okay, because the Spirit of the Lord, okay, and the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay, this is what the Spirit of the Lord did here, what the anointing did, what Jesus said would happen. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. Jesus addressing his apostles. He was not addressing the general public. Okay, the general public, okay, reads these scriptures and steal the value of them to themselves, thinking, okay, they could use their imagination as a scale and reference point of their inspiration. And they came up with these many different kinds of doctrines, strange doctrines, the doctrines of Nicolaitans, the doctrines of Jezebel, okay, the teachings and doctrines of Balaam began to prevail against the truth. That was during the first eighth week. Okay, they began to prevail. The apostles, the chief elders and apostles, took it upon themselves to pen letters of warning, knowing that 2 days were yet to be accounted for the fulfillment before the Lord would return. And that for those 2 days, 2,000 years, okay, the church would need doctrinal instruction. They would need doctrinal instruction, and that a calling would be of necessity, okay, in order to explore and unlock these mysteries, okay, by the key of that stewardship. Accept, I beseech you, the freewill offerings of my mouth. The charity I speak is a sacrifice. Samuel prophesied to me, okay, not man. Okay, O Lord, I teach me your judgments. Let your anointing correct me. Okay, as the anointing unfolds to me, the parables of life. And this is what we can see in the writings of Proverbs, the Song of Solomon, okay, which is very rich in its prophetic symbolism, prophetic parables concerning the church, Okay, it says, my soul is continually in my hand. This is the calling. My soul is continually in my hand, or my calling. Yet I do not forget your law, which means I remain within the boundaries as I meditate. The wicked now have laid a snare for me. Those of aspirations as Saul, or Sheba, or Doeg, these began to become theological challenges for me. They were challenging me of being outside of the fence. So the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from your precepts, that is, that which Moses gave us. Your testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. I see how you communicate to your steward. So your testimonies, you can hide the word testimonies there. Okay, the word testimony, the words judgments there. Yeah, testimony are the acts of God. We reflect upon the acts of God. Well, I record those things which my Father has provided for me. I have about four or five inch folders there full of these revelations. This has to do for my retrieval. Okay, my reflection. Okay, I reflect upon these things. Okay, and upon reflecting upon these things, I see the path of this light. So your word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path, so that I don't stumble. Okay, that I don't stumble into hearsay. Okay, or the aspiration doesn't snare me, because the grace of God preserves me. Okay, so your testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. You can hide the word rejoice in there. Okay, this is strength of my faith which I build with. Okay, these things which I build with. Verse 12, last one here. I am inclined my heart to perform your statutes. Okay, those things which are limited by time as feast days, holy days, Sabbath days. I am inclined my heart to perform your statutes. That was required under the law. Okay, always, even unto the end. Okay, when these things would be fulfilled in Jesus, even unto the end, the Passover, the new moon, Sabbaths, and feast days. Okay, which now the Apostle Paul says, touch not, taste not, handle not. Because Jesus fulfilled them. Okay, all these individual tokens of that first covenant were put into one form of a man, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now let's go back to Philippians. Okay, we're going to go to Philippians again. Okay, and we're going to pick up here around verse 6. Okay, 16 again. One preaches Christ of contention. Okay, now we can see that as a Saul Christian. Okay, a Saul Christian versus a David Christian. The Saul Christian, we would call the earthly church. The David Christian, we would call the heavenly church. Those which are working with a covenant, okay, are those whose perceptions are from above. Okay, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Okay, and this is what Paul talks about also. If you then be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits, okay, which is the throne. So we're looking to the tokens of the tether of his throne, okay, which give life to the soul. And it also emboldens our faith. Okay, and then he goes on here. Okay, not sincerely, but supposing that affliction in my bonds, and that's what Saul did. Okay, the Saul Christians, the Saul church, added affliction to the bonds of the David church. We see the clashing of two kingdoms. Okay, we see the clashing of two kingdoms right from the very beginning. The clashing of two kingdoms between light and darkness. Okay, between Cain and Abel. Okay, between Esau and Jacob. Okay, between the Pharisees and Jesus. Between the false religious system today and that which is the church of the covenant. All right, verse 17. And the other of love. What he's saying right here, those which are pure in heart strengthen the bonding. Okay, the pure in heart. Now, you have to have a pure conscience to strengthen the bonds. If your conscience is defiled, okay, then everything reverts to the boasting of the flesh. If your conscience is purified by faith in Jesus Christ, and now having a purged conscience, the reciprocation is received of the Father, because it's purified by fire. We're saved by fire. Verse 17 again, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel, which we'll talk about again. He's identifying his stewardship. Paul, Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Verse 1, we're properly weighing these things in the refuge of Christ. Okay, his government. His government is your shield. This is to open the gates of refuge with the knowledge of his key. Okay, the mystery of this bonding. The bread which we're sharing, the mystery of this bonding. Okay, now so the other love, verse 17 again, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. That's what we are doing today. Okay, we're defending the gospel against those who blaspheme the gospel. Okay, they take the gospel to the aspiration and they label their building, okay, after their philosophy and theology. Okay, whether it be the Assembly of God or the Church of God, or the Church of God in Christ. All of them have their clever titles, okay, for the purpose of their what they're identifying, what their theology identifies with that title. That's the house that they're in, okay, the house of the Assembly of God, okay, the house of the Church of God, the house of whatever house they're in, okay. They're not in the right tent. They have to come into the house which God has sanctified through his stewardship, okay, and that's what God is doing today. Okay, all those that come into the ark will be spared from the plague, from that destruction. Okay, and all those that come into the stewardship, under the stewardship, okay, are also saved. Okay, this is what God is doing. Okay, God has always made this selection and division. When he took Abraham, our father of faith, from the house of his father, Terah and Haran. That separation began by fire and through the journey, okay, of the angel which attended upon that stewardship. Bring him into Egypt for the purpose of his increase. Okay, Abraham was obedient to that anointing, the anointing of the angel that attended, okay, this knowledge. And that, now that's what Satan was supposed to do. Satanel was supposed to do with Adam, see? Satanel was to give to Adam the fresh bread of heaven for Adam's stewardship. Okay, the stewardship being the second angel of the earth. Adam was identified as the angel of this earth. That was his responsibility. He had the authority over all creation, okay, being ordained of God. That's what Adam's position was. And Satan was to be his, okay, assisting partner. Okay, but Satan wanted it all for himself. Stewardship and priesthood. Okay, he wanted to set the standard. He wanted to have the authority of the throne. We can see what happens. Okay, in the hands of the aspiration is only death. And his whole dimension, okay, is under the yoke and oppressions of death until Christ comes. And Jesus will come. When the heavens are cleansed, see, of that fruits of darkness, okay, the angel of iniquity is cast down, okay, and sealed within the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Then will our Lord descend from heaven with us, okay, attending upon his train to establish his reign, okay, within this dimension, okay, where the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Okay, not what then he says here, notwithstanding in every way, whether in pretense or in truth. So it says here, the conflict that exists, nothing will stop this knowledge from taking root, from even these conflicting forces. Okay, whether in pretense, the one or the other, the knowledge of God will abound. Okay, or in truth, Christ is preached. Okay, the true faith is still manifested. The Lord is casting the net into the sea, dragging the net to land. Okay, they receive and retain the good, but cast the bad away. The Lord is pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh, but not all flesh will be saved. Okay, he's pouring his Spirit upon all flesh. Okay, which has to do with that the angel of the Lord is opening the conscience of every Adamite. And the choices and the challenges which we received, choosing righteousness, they also receive. Okay, whether it be choosing righteousness, okay, or choosing the aspiration over righteousness. Okay, and therein I do rejoice, yes, and will rejoice, and because the anointed will continue to build his house. Okay, we mate with his grace. We mate with his grace. This is what we rejoice in. Now we're going to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. We're starting with verse 15. And let's see some more things here. All right. This is just after what Jesus spoke about. Okay, when he has come. Now, I quoted this earlier. The Comforter will not come unto you except I depart. And when I depart, I'll send him to you. And when he's come, he will prove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. This sign, when he's saying that the Comforter, the angel of the Holy Ghost, will do this. The angel that's tethered to my Father's throne will perform these particular tasks, okay, by my authority. When he has come, this is what's going to happen. This sign will happen upon my leaving. While the Spirit will convict the heart of the defiled conscience, when the illumination is present, okay, it will point to a new and better covenant. So faith must be joined to this for your discernment. So he's going to prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This will be your scale through the stewardship. For this cause I'm come into this world for judgment of sin, because they believed not in me. They refused this new priesthood. They believed not in me, my priesthood, my stewardship. Okay. The new record of sin, because they believed not in me. This new record. Now we're going to jump to 15 here in a moment. this new record, new covenant, new stewardship, new priesthood. Okay, so of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because they go to my Father and see me no more. I'm the true scale for your faith, right? Which is in my Father's throne and also an invisible priesthood. Okay, a priesthood that doesn't have the outer manifestation, but the priesthood, okay, of a new baptism and new knowledge. It's invisible to the eye. So of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Okay, as Jesus was presenting his stewardship and priesthood at that time in the flesh. Okay, for he's saying, for I have given a new invisible priesthood to you after the order of Melchizedek. And now verse 11 of judgment, which means I have removed Satan's power of justifications in the conscience. Okay, by removing the law to my law of grace. So he's going on here. I have many things to say unto you, yet you cannot bear them now. Okay, not until the conscience is cleansed, then everything I told you will make sense. Okay, as truth directs to growth in your understanding. This power the law cannot do. So Satan is exposed by this new way, this new law. The anointing will not work with the religious aspirations. Okay, their works shall be reproved. Yeah, their works shall be reproved. And that's what we're doing today. We're reproving the works of Satan. Okay, Satan is working through forms of religion. Okay, called doctrines of devils. Okay, the doctrines of devils, the Spirit of the Lord will not sanctify doctrines of devils. No matter what form they take, what form of social goodness it might present itself as a doctrine of a devil. Okay, it's outside of the covenant, it refuses to labor with stewardship, and it's absent of the divine priesthood, it's ignorant of the covenant. They are sealed to destruction. Okay, that's also the spirit of derision. The spirit of derision upon them is a seal of their destruction. Okay, what they can't see, because darkness covers their understanding. They can't see this. They don't understand this. They have a very difficult time and try to wrestle the knowledge, okay, into the concepts of the previous traditions. Because they cannot wrestle the truth, okay, into the form of their own error, they reject the truth because it's not conducive to add any kind of value to the aspiration, the religious aspiration. They don't see any value in it. Now he goes on here. Now let's start with verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. With Jesus saying, I am the reality of all creation. I'm the reality of all creation. I'm the firstborn of every creature. Okay, I'm the pattern and captain of your salvation. Okay, this was so determined in my Father's bosom when I myself took the form of my creation. Okay, when I myself took the form of my creation, okay, I was establishing for you a divine pattern and choice of will, the glitter of the grace, the glitter of the grace. While all souls, every eye of every soul, okay, the eyes of your conscience beheld the gloriousness of the holy city. Okay, you saw its glitter, you saw its splendor, you saw its light, you saw your divine habitation and beyond that veil. Okay, concerning as functioning as gods. And this you rejoiced in. But when I offer to you concerning the pattern of your entrance, which was requiring the separation of suffering and choice of will, okay, the protesters protested. But the consenter says, we bow the knee willingly to this, my Lord, okay, that we will take on this yoke to know you and to enter into the gates of your glory, okay, through this form and record, which you have provided for us, and you promised that you would sustain us within this dimension. So all things that the Father has are mine. That's what Jesus is speaking of here. Therefore said I to you that he shall take of mine. That means my record only is of value for your sanctification. Anything outside of that pattern is born of the thief, the robber and destroyer of your souls. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. These things, unfold these mysteries for your faith. Now listen to verse 16 here, because Jesus is going to start going back and forth and regarding his mission. The apostles are going to be a little baffled at this point, because they're looking at Jesus' physical presence right now, okay, and not understanding, okay, that his departure, okay, is only going to be an open door for their inheritance. Now a little while and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me because I go to my Father. That means to seal the cycle of your redemption in the throne of glory. See? He says, a little while and you shall not see me again, a little while and you shall see me because I go to my Father. Jesus is speaking of the cycles. The cycle. I came out from my Father, I'm going to my Father, and I'm setting a pattern, this is what you're going to do. Remember when I told you that? In my Father's bosom? Then says some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he says unto us? A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to my Father. This language sounds familiar, but it's strange. It's a familiar language. We all heard it with our ears in the Father's bosom before we came down here in these vessels of flesh. Okay, before we came down here, okay, our eyes were closed. Okay, our eyes were closed and we came down into a dimension of waters. Okay, and we didn't see again until we were moved from our mother's womb. Our eyes were open, but into a new dimension, a dimension of restriction and time, a dimension of suffering for which we cried out when we gained entrance in this dimension, because I go to my Father. So this language sounds familiar, for Jesus spoke this way in the Father's bosom to reassure all the souls that he will not abandon us in the flesh. Verse 18, then said they, what is this that he says a little while? We cannot tell what he says. We can't project the outcome for our security nor find rest for our soul. What does this mean? Verse 19, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, as all his creatures are. When he visits us, we're always desirous to inquire more, okay, of, you know, more of what the mission is. Even as Abraham, when Jesus with the two angels, Michael and Gabriel, attended Abraham's feast there, okay, they came and Abraham provided a feast for them. Okay, he was inquiring. God, the Creator, was communicating with his creature and was bringing back to his mind the things which he spoke before, and the things that are going to be unfolding further on, even the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, and his own wife Sarah having a child. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask them, and he said to them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me? Verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now he says, verily, verily, he's talking about as at this present time, as also in the future, I say unto you, yet you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, now highlight the word a woman there. Now it's very interesting that the Lord at this point in time is giving this particular analogy. A woman when she is to travail has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of a child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy than a man is born into the world. Okay, so when he says here a woman, he's talking about is concerning his word. Okay, his word. Now, a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow. Now, Jesus is referring, okay, is concerning that which was his present stewardship. But he's saying, I am going to birth a new people. But I must first, okay, suffer in order for this to be, in order for this to take place, to happen. Because her hour has come. I'm going to be nailed to the cross. And as soon as it's delivered and revealed, the child is revealed, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Okay, a stewardship is now going to be birthed. Verse 22, and you now, therefore, have sorrow. Okay, then you now, right now, he says here, in the flesh, and as I promised, and as I said in the bosom, the challenge will be during this time of the flesh. Okay, and you now, therefore, have sorrow. As I said in my Father's bosom, it is taking place now. Okay, verily, verily, as I said in my Father's bosom, then is also happening here, in this dimension, the waters. And now you therefore have sorrow, because this child, what he's speaking of here, this mystery is concealed, but I will show you this mystery. Okay, that is as if the child is now revealed, okay, and a suffering conscience now finds rest. You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man takes from you. Okay, because the anointing will bring this recall. Okay, and with the pure conscience, you're going to behold the Father's face and the woman that bears this child. Okay, even he said to Peter, upon this rock I build my church. Okay, through your stewardship, you're going to birth a new people. And we can see in the day of Pentecost, so many thousands of people began coming in. Okay, verse 23. That, so he says here, now I'm going to birth this child and you will understand this labor. Now, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, as of now and as forever, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, the kingdom covenant, he will give it to you. Okay, that is, for this word bears my likeness, okay, which is now in your conscience. Now, verse 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, as concerning the kingdom, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. And so we can see the parallel here. Because Jesus is saying, I'm going to possess all the tokens, okay, which this child represents for you. I will build upon this stone of revelation, okay, that your joy may be full. Verse 25. Now about the woman in travail. These things have I spoken unto you. He's reflecting upon the woman in travail. These things have I spoken in you in Proverbs, as tokens and symbolisms. But the time comes, as in the bosom, when I shall no more speak in you in Proverbs. I mean, in other words, I'm not going to filter this knowledge. This knowledge presently is being filtered to you. Okay, like a sieve. Okay, you're pouring through a sieve. Okay, so what is retained, okay, is a very small amount of what just passed through. So the knowledge which Jesus was giving to them, okay, was being filtered, okay, in these Proverbs. And there's going to be a time coming when no longer will this knowledge be filtered. Okay, so you're not going to be just eating a hamburger. You'll be able to consume the cattle of 1,000 hills. Okay, my Father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. In other words, my knowledge is not going to be cut up anymore into parts of beef. Okay, you'll be able to absorb everything, okay, and contain everything that my Father owns. Okay, when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs. Okay, but I will show you plainly the Father. Okay, that is, you shall see the crystal sea of my Father's bosom. So I'm going to show you plainly the Father, because this is his joy to fellowship to you on a level that is equal to himself. This is what he desired before time even began. Verse 26. Now at that day shall ask my name. That is, in the kingdom. If you're in the kingdom, that means you're in the covenant. So he says, when he asks my name, he's not referencing concerning the pronunciation, because he knows that many people will say his name, even Lord, Lord, okay, and yet walk contrary to him. So he's not saying, when he says the word name here, he's not in references to pronunciation, but the kingdom covenant. So what in that day shall ask in my name, in the kingdom covenant. And I say not unto you that I pray the Father for you, because you're going to be in my Father's throne, in my Father's bosom. This is to carry out his plan as God's in this manner. The Father's love is expressed in you. We see this in Revelation 3:21. And he that overcomes shall inherit all things. Now, verse 27. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me. That means you're reciprocating the knowledge that I'm presently given to you. That shows that you also accept the Father's choice. Before the foundation of the world, this was prepared. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. How do I like the word came out from God? Okay, that is into these waters. Okay, I, as a God of fire, came into these mentions now as waters, which I created, to come into the likeness of the flesh, which I created to communicate to as Adamites. Now, verse 28, as I promised in the Father's bosom, I came forth from the Father in his bosom and am come into the world, the waters of the flesh. That which is of time and challenge. I'm not going to leave the world of these waters and go to my Father, back to my Father's bosom, as I told you, to complete the cycle. Get your sacrifices ready. So I'm going back to my Father's bosom, as I told you, to complete this. So this completes the divine cycle, and I'm here to provide in my record for your faith. Okay, this is the vehicle of your redemption. This knowledge is the vehicle of your redemption. Okay, even as the mother carries the child. The mother is the vehicle, okay, that bears the child. Verse 29. His disciples said to him, no, now you speak plainly and speak no proverb. Now, understanding the Lord's language. This is divine language he's speaking here. Now, God being manifest in the flesh, he's communicating divine language. That which only the anointing, okay, can set order in your understanding by. Only the anointing. The anointing sets order in the understanding. So his disciples said to him, Behold, he says, now, lo, you speak plainly. Our conscience can see this mystery in the woman, okay, and not in parables or symbols, okay, because you speak of yourself. Lo, now you speak you plainly and speak no proverb. Now we are sure that you know all things. By this witness we are confident. We are confident in your claims. Okay, your claims as the Messiah, okay, and a priesthood as the order of Melchizedek to issue this to us, this new knowledge. Okay, in other words, we don't need the witness of man to validate for us, nor any kind of scholar, nor any kind of scribe to challenge, because you're this rod, you're this key, you're this woman. Okay, now we are sure that you know all things and need not that any man should ask of you to challenge you in this knowledge. Okay, this is the witness. By this we believe that you came forth from God. That is out of the Father's bosom to confirm your love. You are the child that was born in order to bear, now in this dimension, a new people. Verse 31, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Hey, remember, I am soon to departing. You're going to revert back to your religious logic, again to your religious logic. Hey, but I want you to build what I give to you. Do you really feel confident now in my mission for your redemption? Behold, the hour comes, yes, and now has come. Okay, that you shall be scattered. The wicked will abandon you so that they can follow their own aspiration and not follow the record which I gave to you, which I'm going to give my life for and which I have given you for your faith. So behold, the hour comes and now is that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. He's going to give witness to this record which I'm providing for you, okay, in my death and resurrection. So these things, this mystery of this woman and child, these things have I spoken to you that in me, in my covenant, in my house, in my kingdom, being the house of faith, that in me you might have peace. This is where your refuge is found. Okay, in the world you should have tribulation. In the world, that means the waters of the flesh, is where death rules with contradiction. We have the five C's there. Okay, the five C's of contradiction. Contrast, because in this dimension of water, we have contrast with fire. We have conflict as water and fire. We have contrariness as concerning the product of the water and the fire. We have controversy as concerning the standard of this theology between water and fire. Okay, and you have contradiction in these dimensions of these waters between water and fire. In the world you have tribulation, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The anointing of fire shall abide upon you in these dimensions of waters and shall preserve your soul from consumption. So these are things, he says, this is my plan. Okay, my plan exceeds beyond the waters of time for you to return to me. What I promised in my Father's bosom must be fulfilled, okay, for my Father's joy. Okay, now verse 1 of chapter 17, and we're going to jump back to Philippians here. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven, right after he got talking to him about the woman when she is in travail. These words spoke Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the invisible one, the hour has come. The Abrahamic clock is about ready to strike. Okay, it's midnight. The hour has come. It is for the new week to begin here. The hour has come. Okay, glorify your son, that your son also may glorify you. And this is what he did. Okay, when he went to the garden, the new week is about to strike. It's hour. So strengthen and assist me. Now, when Jesus went to the garden, we see this in Luke, chapter 22, verse 43. The angel Lord appeared to him and strengthened him to assist him through this hour of transition. Okay, Luke 22:43. So glorify your son to seal this record in my flesh for their recall. Okay, of all things I spoke to them in your bosom. Okay, that your son also may glorify you. Now let's go back to Philippians and we'll get ready to close here. So these are things which the Apostle Paul is reflecting upon for the church. Okay, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein I do rejoice and will rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Okay, this is what I'm going to build with. Right, we build with this holy knowledge. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation. The anointing affirms this pattern, he's saying, in my conscience, always directing me to the work of this regeneration for you. Okay, this is to assist you. Okay, and by my prayers for you, by agreement. Okay, by agreement and petition and supplications and his gifts to you, see, and to contribute more to the beauty of his house. So this is, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers. Okay, so we can see another bonding gift, okay, in the righteous, in the consenters. Okay, with the stewardship, the priesthood. Okay, the stewardship and the priesthood. Your prayers, of course, now we're past the middle of the year, so make sure you can even increase your prayer time. Okay, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Okay, that your prayers assist me within this knowledge to birth within you these fruits. There is an equal exchange taking place here. Okay, within the stewardship and within the priesthood, as was with Moses and Aaron. Okay, there was an equal exchange there. Okay, they all partook of that meat, one meat, and all drank of that one wine. And so your prayer and the supply of the Spirit. So I like the word supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Okay, these has to do with the gifts that he's provided for you. Okay, he's going to contribute more to beautify his house. Okay, we're adorning the house of God by these gifts. Okay, and by these gifts, it's covering your nakedness. Okay, our nakedness is covered okay, by these gifts of righteousness, okay, which the false religious system doesn't have. Okay, they're trying to cover their nakedness, okay, with their own theology, okay, which is a powerless gift. Okay, it's a powerless gift. It's darkness. Okay, darkness itself, okay, it shields the visage, okay, of the face of God, which they think, okay, is shielding their own hearts from their guilt, but it's not. Okay, darkness only contributes to the ignorance. The ignorance abounds with their guilt. Okay, ignorance and guilt work together. Okay, the anointing doesn't work with guilt. Anointing works with truth, because that's what the Father seeks, those which worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, so the anointing, okay, works with truth for your covering. Okay, this is a gift of your salvation. Okay, by which we resource. This is what we build with. It's not of ourself. If it was ourself, it would be our own theology school, okay, or the tokens of this world, okay, which were not to touch, taste, or handle, which has to do with the communion, okay, the water baptisms, the tithing, okay, the circumcision, and the observing of the Sabbath day. Okay, all these things have been fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, who is our Sabbath man, who is our baptism, who is our circumcision. Okay, our circumcision is a circumcision made without hands, okay, which has to do with the work of divine regeneration, okay, through the knowledge that you have received. So through this form of communion, of prayer and prophecy, see, which we see in these things here, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, these are the stairs, okay, which we follow. We follow up these stairs of growth, okay, so that we're no longer children working with the tokens of ignorance, struggling against sin. Okay, if you're struggling against sin, then you're reflecting upon guilt. And if you're reflecting upon guilt, you're following the path of darkness. You're following the shadow of turning. The shadow of turning keeps you looped with a form of derision and confusion that we don't follow. We don't follow the shadow of turning. We follow that, okay, which is the anointing, that pillar of fire, Jesus Christ our Lord. So by following this pillar of fire, yeah, you're following the stewardship, you're working with the priesthood, you have your place of refuge.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come and come with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.